You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Sam Norris here this week, stepping in for DK to take a look at a couple of events. And joining me on the line, as ever on the Golf Podcast, is Mr. Dave Tindall. Dave, how are you, sir?
Yeah, very well, thank you, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Great to be back on the Golf Podcast, Dave, particularly in a week where we get to talk about Tiger Woods once again, back in the winner's enclosure in Japan for career win number 82, bringing him level with Sam Snead for the all-time record number of wins on tour. I mean, this is a man that's coming back pretty soon after yet another surgery. Just continues to defy what we think is possible, Dave.
I know. I mean, he was 33-1 last week, which you kind of look at and think, how did that happen? Don't we ever learn? It's like we keep kind of thinking he's had his last hurrah and then suddenly he wins again. I mean, it's funny how quickly we sort of think that the body can't hold out, you know, every time he has another surgery. But I guess the point of a surgery is to make it better than it was. But we gave him, I think right at the end of the podcast, we sort of mentioned him last week, and me and Dave were both sort of, well, you know, just see how he goes. But comes out, shoots the first round 64, leads from pillar to posts, and just does it the Tiger Woods way, leads from the front, never looks like losing. Brilliant.
Yeah, DK mentioned on the back end of last week's podcast that he was potentially getting an appearance fee and that his mind wouldn't be totally focused on the job. Fortunately, you weren't quite as dismissive, mentioning the fact that obviously the Olympics is being played in Japan, so it might have paid for him to get his eye in there, and he's now a winner in Japan.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that now. Yeah, I was sort of banging on about it being he'll be trying a little bit harder, but at no point was I thinking would I have a bet on him. But
no.
You know, there he goes again, 33-1, Tiger Woods.
Indeed. With this sort of long list of injuries and the multiple surgeries that he's had over the years now, it was always going to be difficult for him to play the exact same kind of golf in the same way that he did in his absolute prime. Do you notice many differences now in terms of the mechanics of his swing and how he actually plays the game compared to the Tiger of yesteryear? Because it would be impossible, really, after all that manipulation that he's had to his body via the number of surgeries, for him to play it in the exact same way. There has to have been a bit of adaptability. Have you noticed much?
Yeah, I mean, he's very honest about it himself. He says he just can't do the things that he used to do physically. But obviously with Tiger, it was part physical, part mental. And the mental bit is as strong as ever. And then physically, yeah, he can't be as explosive. But because he's so clever in his mind, he knows how to sort of manage his way around a course. And I think on certain courses, he knows I've got as good a chance as any. I mean, of course, that 82nd win, it's hard to get your head around it. You sort of say the number and then you start to break it down. I read somewhere that, I think it was Justin Ray on Twitter, said something like Dustin Johnson, who kind of wins at a rate, has more wins than anyone else below 40, I think. If he needs to, you know, keep going until he's 72 before he'd have 82 wins.
Wow.
I mean, it's just sort of, just the number is daft, isn't it? I saw a few people as well saying, oh, well, the events he's won, there was only 78 in the field and he won the Tour Championship when there was only 30. But then someone came back with, well, Sam Snead, his record, he equaled. I think six of Sam Snead's wins were in 15 player field. So
wow.
So it just takes a little bit of checking of history before we think Tiger's getting it done on the cheap, some of these wins. But he's not, is he? I mean, he's still, yeah, you know, look at the three wins he's had since he's come back from, you know, people saying he'll never win again, the Tour Championship, the Masters, and then the Zozo Championship, a big event in Japan. So he's, you know, who knows where he goes from here? Could he get to 100?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? I was reading an interesting piece that sort of suggested that 100 is every bit as likely as him remaining on 82. It just depends how the body reacts now, because, you know, as we know, we can't play events every single week. There's going to have to be an extra time of rest and recuperation in between events. And it seems that everything's possible now. He could never win again, or he could go on to triple figures.
Yeah, I mean, he's won three times in a kind of 12-month period. So, which is, I think, as many as anyone in the game has won over that time. And yet during that 12 months, we've happily written him off again as, oh, that was just a sort of glorious one-off. But yeah, if you can chip away three or four a year, it's doable, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, maybe one day we'll learn about writing him off. He's only one of the greatest players to ever play the game. So
I know. It's, you feel so bad afterwards, yeah. Don't you? You think, what am I thinking? But maybe this time, Sam, it's the last time.
Maybe so. That win lifted Tiger Woods up to number 6 in the world. But a man who rose 323 places in the world rankings this week was Stephen Brown, who chalked up a maiden European Tour title at the Portugal Masters. A man at the complete opposite end of the professional golfing spectrum to Tiger Woods. Brown needed a top 3 finish last week just to secure his tour card for next year. So a very, very big win for him in many ways, but perhaps a tough man to find in the field for betters, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, again, me and Dave were a bit quick to sort of write things off because that was like the last chance for those trying to secure their playing privileges for next year to keep their cards. And we were kind of saying, well, you know, they've had all year to do this and, you know, you can't just expect them. It's not like a tap. You can't just turn it on when you want. And yet, if you'd played that angle that players are drinking in this last chance saloon, have got to turn it on, then it really worked out well, didn't it? Because you had Stephen Brown. You had Justin Walters, who saved his card. Adrian Sadier, the Frenchman, was fourth. He didn't save his card, but, you know, he gave it a blooming good shot at it.
Yeah.
So, again, next year, I think it is worth looking at players kind of on the bubble or outside who need a big week, because we've seen it this time that they've managed to pull it off. So, yeah, brilliant for Stephen Brown. That's, my mate as well said he'd scored like a massive haul in his fantasy football picks as well this week. So what a week for Stephen Brown.
Exactly.
Huge. Must have a load of Leicester players.
Yeah, huge week for Stephen Brown. Should mention as well, DK got a full place last week with Chris Paisley in Portugal.
Yeah, that was good going, yeah.
Yeah. So well done to Dave, who's celebrated by taking yet another holiday.
Yeah.
Congratulations to DK for last week. We'll move on to this week's events then. We sort of stay in the Far East. We're off to China this week for the WGC HSBC Champions, played at the Seishan International Golf Club, a course that measures in at 7,264 yards. I read that they've extended the par 4 fifth hole by a mighty 3 yards this year, so keep that in mind. I hope that hasn't ruined all of your research, Dave, coming into this one. Rory McIlroy tops the betting at 11-2. Hideki Matsuyama is 12-1. Xander Schauffele is 14-1. Justin Rose is 16-1. So in Matsuyama, Schauffele and Rose, we've got the last three winners of this event. Paul Casey, 20-1. Tony Finau is 22-1. Henrik Stenson is 25-1 with Tommy Fleetwood. It's 28-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. A fifth the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 are the each way terms on this event. There are 78 of them lined up. It's a no-cut event once again. Not a bad field, Dave, but it could have been a bit better. We've got 12 of the world's top 25 engaged this week, including, as mentioned, the last three winners of the event.
Yeah, it's a little bit disappointing. I think you've only got two of the top 8 in the world.
Right.
So right at the top, it's been a bit neglected. Obviously, you can understand Woods, maybe. He just can't play every week. But, you know, where's Justin Thomas? He was already in the Far East. There's a few of these that you would have thought would have stayed on, but not to be. But yeah, a pretty strong field as it is. And I think the top end, McIlroy, Matsuyama, I certainly give them a big chance this week. I'm not going to pull the trigger on them at 11-2 and 12-1 respectively, but you saw how well they played last week. Rory actually shot lower than Tiger Woods over the final 54 holes. Matsuyama did better than anyone in attempting to chase Tiger down. So they go to that course where they've both done well before, you know, with every chance of going in. Maybe Matsuyama at 12s, but not quite for me. But yeah, a good field.
Yeah, McIlroy feels tight there at 11-2. You mentioned how well he finished in Japan, which is obviously added to his price. But I think that definitely comes into the category of, and you know, we mentioned them most weeks, I'm sure you and DK do, of players that you're just happy to let win at that price. 11-2 seems very, very restrictive.
Yeah, I mean, his course record here, he's got a load of top fours, five, sixes, but he's never been in the top three. So it's not like he's one of his absolute favourites. I think he'll do well, and you could possibly just about call him an each way bet to nothing with 50 odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so he's 11-2. So yeah, you could back him each way and hope for the win, but get your money back. But I prefer to look elsewhere.
Yes, it's not going to be a terribly exciting or profitable outcome if you do back him each way and he only places rather than wins. In terms of the type of player that you're looking for to win the event this week, Dave, do you feel greens and regulations are going to be a must this week?
Yeah, I think that is a good one to look at. I mean, off the tee, you've certainly had your share of boomers do well. You've had Bubba Watson win here, Phil Mickelson twice, but you've had your steady eddies as well. So I think it's what you do with the second shot that really is key. So yeah, I would be looking for strong iron players. That's certainly how I've sort of gone about it.
Let's get into some selections then, Dave. Talk us through who qualifies as a bet this week.
Yes, I've got three. Okay. And they're all at 50-1 and they're all major winners. So just on those pure kind of
I should be able to guess them, shouldn't I? Danny Willett, Molinari and Sergio Garcia.
Extraordinary stuff. Yes.
To be fair, there's only, five players that are 50-1 and the other two are Charles Howells and Corey Connors. And I think I would have remembered if either of them had won a major.
I've given the game away slightly, I suppose.
But, yeah. Sorry but to steal your thunder, but talk us through the
picks. Well, I'll do them in the order I've got them written down, which I'm sure you must have some hidden camera. I'm here in Cumbria, you're down in Leeds. Anyway.
To be fair, if I had access to a hidden camera, your house might not be the first place I'd install one.
Possibly, yes. So I'll give you that.
Yeah.
So 50-1, Molinari, I'll go first.
Okay.
Major winner, of course, but obviously as well here, he's won this title, won it in 2010. And I remember watching him that week, and at the time he was just known as a dreadful putter. Had all the tee to green skills you want, and then, you know, you've written him off, time form squill, can't putt, unreliable. And yet that week he putted the greens great, and you thought, wow, wouldn't it be good if he could always putt like that? I wonder what he might become. And then we've seen what he's become. He's become a major winner. We've seen him become a star of the Ryder Cup. So this course, I think, is one where he's on record as saying he just reads the greens well. So that certainly bodes well for this week. As well as that win in 2010, he's got three of the top tens. Latest one was 2016. And current form is a little bit more of, this explains the 50-1, I guess, is because he's not done anything great for a while. But in amongst the kind of mini dip that he's having, he's got an 11th in the Open at Portrush when he was defending, 14th at Wentworth, another course he plays well on. And the sort of surprise was, I don't know where this came from, he missed the cut in the Italian Open, his home Open, where he always does well. But that was a weird week because Shane Lowry and Paul Casey also missed the cut. So it was just, I don't know what happened that week to some of the big names. But if anything, I think that might just get him to think, hang on, what's going on here? I need to really knuckle down. That wasn't good to miss the cut in front of his home fans. So I think he's going to go out to China, 50-1, show those tee to green skills. I'm sure he's been working hard. And I think 50-1 is certainly, you know, playable. I think a Molinari in early season form when he won in Florida and he contended at the Masters, he'd be 22-1 here, you know, be half that price and more. So 50s, I think we're taking a bit of a chance on his current form, but I'm prepared to take it, I think.
Okay. Molinari then at 50-1. Who are you going to talk about next?
I'll go for Garcia because he's won this event as well. So that's obviously always good to have a course winner on your side. Again, a little bit of the same with Molinari. You think, what is his current form? How good really is it? Because you can kind of say it's positive. You can also say it's not quite there. But on the positives, I mean, he won four starts ago, won the KLM Open in the Netherlands. Not the greatest field, obviously, but a win's a win. And Sergio played nicely there. Then he went to his home Spanish Open, was seventh there. Again, as he did in Holland, shot four rounds in the 60s. So you're thinking, he's having one of his kind of late season flurries. Often plays well at this time of year, Sergio. And then he's played the last 2 weeks of the PGA Tour's Asian Swing. Just didn't do anything in the CJ Cup 60th. But, you know, forgive him a bad week. And then you thought maybe the Zozo Championship, that's quite a tree-lined classic track that might suit him. 33rd doesn't look great on paper, but I like the way he finished. He shot 67, 69 on the weekend. They were his best two rounds. And drilling down on the numbers a little bit, he hit more greens on the weekend than he did in the first two rounds. And he putted well that week as well. So again, Sergio, if he can get the putter going, is always dangerous. He's got a first, a fourth, a ninth, and 11th here. So again, it's just that classy element, course winner, 50-1. Take a chance.
Okay, so that's Sergio Garcia who goes in at 50-1, and your third major winner at 50-1, Dave.
Yes, to complete the hat trick of 50-1 European major winners, Danny Willett, who won, of course, not so long back at Wentworth, one of the prestigious events on the European Tour, the BMW PGA Championship. And he's got a habit of winning big, Danny Willett. Obviously won the Masters, as did Sergio. So he pops up. I think we discussed that, me and Dave discussed this, that maybe he wins and then maybe just backs off a little bit. But maybe that's a little bit harsh, because since his win, he's finished 26th in the Alfred Dunhill Links in Scotland. That was a decent knock. Then he was 18th in that strange Italian Open when the big guns were falling apart. So he's backed that win up with two good European Tour performances. Just didn't do anything in the CJ Cup. But again, you look at the scoring. I mean, ideally, you know, you hope maybe he had a bad start but finished well, and that's exactly what happened. Opened with a 76, he could maybe say he wasn't quite acclimatised. That was, he'd flown there straight from Italy, so you can maybe give him the benefit of the doubt. But shot lower every day, went 76, 71, 70, 68 in round four. So Willett was maybe just starting to find his straps by the end of that week. Didn't play in Japan last week, which could be a bonus. You could say he's a little bit fresher. So here he is in China, where he's got a good record, actually. Kind of in this event, it's a bit weird because he's had two duff events, but the middle visit, 2015, he was third, shot opening round 65, and then shot 62 in round four, which is some going on this track. He's also played well in Hong Kong, obviously across the waters there, sixth, his last appearance in Hong Kong. Different sort of track, but shows he can play well in the Far East. So again, Danny Willett is maybe that little bit of Tiger Woods about him, in that you start to think, oh, he's not really at it, and yet then he'll come and win big. So I certainly think he can get in the mix here. And again, 50-1 just caught my eye as a little bit too big a price for a player who can land these prestigious events.
Yeah, it's a fair point you make about Danny Willett. Just off the top of my head, after he won the Masters, I seem to recall him not winning for a while, but also not playing very well for a while, to the point where I think at one stage I kind of considered whether he'd win anything ever again after the Masters. And I thought, you know, that might just be the peak of his career, and he's never really going to scale the heights once more. It took a few years, but as you say, he has been back in the winner's enclosure in the last couple of months.
Yeah, and he got on one of those sort of bad kind of spirals where he was a bit injured, but he had some big events to play, so he turned up and played and didn't do well. And then, you know, had to compensate in his swing, and it was just out of whack really for quite a while. But in terms of the brain still being there and the winning mentality, when he gets in a good position, it's amazing how well he does it, turning it into a win. So, you know, some players you think, oh, he'll be up there, he'll give me a nice run, but ultimately he'll always get picked off. When it's Danny Willett, you know, his record shows that once he's up there, he's as tough mentally as just about anybody. So that's why he's worth chancing in these sort of events. And I think he's certainly back big style, Danny Willett. I think we're sort of underestimating him, putting him in at 50s.
Okay, three selections there then for the main event this week. Molinari, Garcia and Willett, all 50-1. Six places at a fifth of the odds in that event. We have got an opposite event coming up this week as well. This one gets underway at a slightly more palatable time on Thursday morning, round about an 11 a.m. Start for this one. It's the Bermuda Championship, the inaugural Bermuda Championship as well. And this is an event where, once again, we're paying six places at a fifth of the odds here at William Hill. And the event, as I say, is being played for the first time in Bermuda at the Port Royal Golf Course in the Southampton Parish of Bermuda. It measures to a par of 71. 6,842 yards is the course. A show of betting for this event, Denny McCarthy is the 14-1 favourite. 16s about Alex Norren. Lanto Griffin is 16-1. 18-1 for Scotty Scheffler. 20-1 Aaron Wise. Russell Knox is 20-1. Bo Hostler is 22-1. Doc Redmond 28. Mark Hubbard 28-1 with Sam Ryder. 30-1 and bigger the rest. Fair to say, Dave, that we haven't got a bulging list of household names in here. I mean, the likes of Alex Norren, Aaron Wise, Russell Knox, we have sort of seen a little bit more in European and PGA Tour events recently. And at a very casual glance at this event, and you'll no doubt know more than me, I couldn't believe Alex Norren wasn't favourite, just purely looking at the field before I'd really thought anything else about it.
Yeah, that's a bit of a surprise that Denny McCarthy should be in front of him, given what Norren's done before. I mean, Norren's only just outside the world's top 50 still. Yeah, I was a bit surprised by that. When you say it's full of kind of names you might not recognise, well, if you scroll right to the bottom of the betting, you will recognise him if you used to play the Sega Mega Drive in the 1990s because he's full of all sort of old-timers who are now sort of 50-plus. A bit of a weird event in that I don't know how some of them have got into the field. There's just must have said they fancy the holiday and be on good terms with the Bermuda sort of holiday paper, I don't know, tourism board. But it's easy to sort of just think, well, there's no course form and I want to give this one a swerve. But I did actually manage to find somebody.
Okay.
You nearly got to him in your spin through the prices when you said 30-1 and bigger the rest. my guy is the 30-1er.
Okay.
Brian Stewart.
Right.
Why Brian Stewart? Well, he's one of the straightest hitters on tour, which is good because this is a short course that you can have a lot of short irons in. That's kind of the strength of his game. Hit it onto the fairway and then do well with his short irons. Just two starts ago, he was fourth at the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open in Las Vegas. A couple of 65s to kick that off and then a pair of 67s on the weekend. So that was a nice little result for him, and that followed 17th at the Safeway Open, 28th at the Sanderson Farm. So he started this new season really well, didn't do anything in the CJ Cup in South Korea, but he's back from there now. He's had a week back to acclimatise. Obviously the course form is a problem, but you start to maybe have a look at how he's played on other courses. The tournament I always think of him as doing well in is the Sony Open, which again is on a short track by the seaside. That's in Hawaii. We're in Bermuda this week. It's got Bermuda greens, both events. And I think he's got four top eights in his last six appearances there. So that style of golf, I think, is right up his street. And I think that's that link to the Sony Open is what gets him in for me this week. I just wanted to check that he had some good current form. I must admit, I'd kind of forgotten he'd finished fourth in Vegas. But with that so recent, I think you sort of piece together and he could do well. He's kind of an unfashionable name. So somebody like, you know, Denny McCarthy is more of a young gun who's attracting attention. I don't think there's no way he should be half Stewart's price. Stewart is a bit of a plodder, but this could just be the opportunity he needs to get a win.
Okay. Brian Stewart then at 30-1 for the inaugural Bermuda Championship. And again, that event, we are paying six places and a fifth of the odds. Just time for a quick recap then, please, Dave. Talk us how you're staking these four guys this week.
Yeah, so I'll start with the Bermuda one and just get Brian Stewart done. I will have a point each way because I think there's a lot in that field who are easily beatable. So I think even though your initial thought is, oh, I'll give this one a miss, he might just be able to get a top six, and 30-1 might look easy money. In the other main event, the WGC-HSBC in China, I'll have a point each way in all three of my 50-1 shots. Not Eduardo Molinari, that's Francesco Molinari, Sergio Garcia and Danny Willett, all 50-1, all major winners, and hopefully they can make a splash.
Tremendous stuff. Two events then to enjoy coming up this week. 50 odds place 1-6 on both of them here at William Hill. And of course, as ever, we've got a variety of markets on the golf. Do check that out at williamhill.com or, of course, on the William Hill app. And the golf podcast will return next week. Dave, thank you for that. Genuine pleasure, as always, and good luck.
Cheers, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.